When we are in active addiction, we are under a spell. If this was the case, what exactly is going on, and exactly what does it take to break the spell? Welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical and apply these medicines to the recovery from addiction and trauma. Today's episode is a companion piece for the Substack written post of the same name, Breaking the Spell of Addiction, Part 1. We'll go into the basics of what a spell is and how we go about breaking the spell of addiction. I hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome to another edition of the Sober Shaman Podcast. This is lucky number 13. And for lucky number 13, I'm going to be offering commentary on my most recent Substack post, Breaking the Spell of Addiction. That works for number 13. The idea of spells, how addiction is a spell, how we're going to break it, and all kinds of tangents that may take it in different directions and bring some clarity on the post and what I wasn't able to go into further detail. I like to keep the posts, the writing, short and succinct, and it keeps me on track. Here in the podcast, I get to flesh things out, add more details, as if I was doing a group in a treatment center or in a health facility. But unfortunately, I don't have the immediate feedback of receiving it from other people. So see how you receive it. Send me any messages you have through emails. Leave the comments on any of the platforms, because I really do enjoy the back and forth. And that's where I get my juice, is seeing how these concepts land with you, what they might. Maybe they're new. Maybe there's something that felt familiar, especially this idea of breaking the spell of addiction. It's right. I mean, it makes sense. But I'm taking the concept now of a spell seriously. What if this was exactly what was going on? When we are in active addiction, we are under a spell. If this was the case, what exactly is going on, and exactly what does it take to break the spell? All right. Let me throw this at you. Three things, three statements. Addiction is a spell. This spell is a lie and not real. The spell becomes real only when we believe the lie and make it real. Let me say those three again. Addiction is a spell. The spell is a lie and not real. The spell becomes real only when we believe the lie and then make it real. All right, let's break these down. So addiction is a spell. So for this situation of addiction, let's define the spell of what I'm talking about here as a set of critical self-beliefs that we repeatedly tell ourselves. The spell is a set of critical self-beliefs that I repeatedly tell myself over and over again. So these beliefs basically tell us that right here, right now, I'm damaged or not enough in some way. Right? The limiting core belief, as it's commonly called in psychology. Right here, right now, I'm not good enough, I don't have enough, and I'm damaged in some kind of way. And these beliefs come out in the form of I am statements. Now, whether they start in our heads as an I am statement, and we're being told you're a loser, and then they come out of our mouths, and or we are told these things from other people, you are a loser. The point is that they have formed in our own belief systems as a belief being true. So this statement, this I am statement, is the spell. So if nothing else, when you've identified your critical self-belief, the one that is really at the core of things, I'm a loser. Let's just go with that popular one. That's the spell. And it wasn't always true. It's a lie. In the beginning, we didn't enter this world as a loser. We didn't come in here with these critical self-beliefs and thinking that we were damaged and not enough. Something happened in the form of an experience from the outside that was imposed upon us that caused our beliefs to then flip. Because before these outside imposed forces, and we'll get to that, caused the flip, if so, hey, you're a loser, and there's nothing inside for it to stick to, I don't have any experience that would validate this supposition. Like, you know, supposition, big word for like a five-year-old running around the playground. Hey, you're a loser. It's like, who are you talking to me? Well, that doesn't mean anything. We can laugh at them and we can go right on playing. They have no power. They aren't real. Number three, the spell becomes real only when we believe the lie and make it so. When that, hey, you're a loser, then comes at me and I believe it. Oh, crap. He sees me for who I am. All right. So what happens to make this belief that I'm damaged and not enough come in? I use the acronym TAHL, T-A-H-L, and it stands for trauma, abuse, heartbreak, and loss. And I've picked these four because it kind of covers the range of human experience of how, boom, it comes in like a meteor crashing into the ground of our psyche, where we are one way before and we are another way after. Doing the numbers of groups that I've done over the years in treatment centers, you know, I'd like to say I've heard just about everything, but it's always wonderful to hear new things. But one of the things that gets repeated is a theme of, oh, I don't have any of that. So if I had just used the term trauma, which has taken on a life of its own and transformed its meanings like so many words in these last 4 or 5 years, to mean broader things and mean more things to different people. For example, people could easily say, I don't have any trauma. Not by their definition. Abuse, I don't have any abuse. So that's where I've tacked on heartbreak and loss. Because we all have heartbreak. We all have suffered forms of heartbreaking loss that have devastated us where we were one way before and another way after. If you've made it to adulthood, you've had TAHL hit. And these are the experiences that flip our beliefs. We no longer believe the world is safe and everything's okay and I am enough. No. TAHL hits, everything changes. We're one way before, we're another way after. We're never going to be the same again. There is no going back. All right, so I just said that toll happens to everyone. So that's not necessarily the problem. The problem is that when toll hits, it's equal and opposite energy. Like Einstein, right? Energy is not created or destroyed. It's only transformed. It's yin and yang. These are basics of the universe. You've got 100 pounds worth of trauma, abuse, heartbreak, and loss land on your psyche. You've got a dent that is 100 pounds worth. How do you digest this experience? How then do you express rightfully, heartbreakingly so, this experience? Do you have a safe place? Do you have people where you are able to rightfully share this experience? You know, I often talk about, you know, two-year-olds. It's like when they're in the perfect phase of life, you know, you give them a toy and the whole world is fine, and they're just sucking on that toy and looking at it and putting it in their ear. And it's like you take the toy away and the whole world is over. They're not going to try to bargain with you. It's like, what do? They scream at the top of their lungs because it's a loss. And obviously, things happen between when we're two to when we're an adult. And obviously, for self-preservation, for being part of the society, for being part of a family, we make agreements and arrangements. As I wrote about previously, and we'll talk about often, Robert Bly, the great American poet, often talks about the bag we carry behind us and the little pieces of ourselves that we put in that bag as a result of this toll, so that we can remain in agreement, part of the group, part of the family, but we are never the same since. So, toll comes in, boom, it impacts us. That still isn't even the problem, right? The problem is that we hang on to that and it's not digested, it's not processed, it is not expressed. We do not have a safe place to release that energy in whatever form it needs to come out, grief, anger, whatever. And so it's stuck inside. Now, being stuck inside, it then becomes part of our identity. And this is the big problem. It becomes part of our story of who I am. And this deserves not only a post, but many posts, and many people wonderfully talk about this. When we identify with our label, it's very limiting. And this is why when I, you know, go right, lesson one, hi, my name is Randy and I'm an addict. Do you say that statement? Does that statement work for you? What goes on in that? It's like, I don't like that label. I don't like it sticking to me. It sticks. I want to reject it. Well, that shows there's something there, right? So this I am statement, as a result of the toll, the trauma, the abuse, the heartbreak, and the loss that comes into you, now turns into part of your story, part of your identity, and you believe it. I am a loser. Wow. This is where the problem comes in. And again, there's a lot of moving parts as to how this happens, but often it can, just like that, on certain experiences. All right. Here's the next sticky part of this idea that the spell becomes real only when we believe the lie and make it so. So, the lie, I am a loser, I believe it. Now what happens? That's a pretty lousy belief to have. And of course, it grows hair and fungus and gets pretty rotten on the inside and is looking for relief, obviously. I don't want to be a loser. I want to be a winner. And coming from this intention of the belief and this part of your identity, this is the seed of the addiction. And I talk about this in the cycle of addiction. This is the seed. And for our intents and purposes here, this is the spell. This is the spell. I am a loser. I am weak. I am worthless. I am unlovable. I am dirty. However that gets filled in, that's the spell. And now, in response to that spell, we go out into the world and in active addiction, we prove that belief to be correct. Go into more detail a little further in the podcast. For now, I want to say, when we believe and participate in the lie, we turn it into reality. I really want to stress this point. That's the only way an addiction can exist. And the only way the spell of addiction can work. When we believe and participate in the lie, we turn it into reality. Boom. That's it. So, why do only some people believe in the lie and fall under this spell? I ask in the post, and many people have asked me. Well, my answer is, let's take a step back, because there are far more people who are under this spell than not. But why aren't they all addicts? Really? Well, they may not be addicts with alcohol or pills or cocaine or shopping, gambling that are so overtly obvious that the detriment to everyone involved is a bomb going off. It may not be that obvious. So let me throw this to you. Again, the idea that when we believe the lie and participate in the lie, that's how we turn it into reality. If I'm a loser and weak and not enough, and I then go out and create a business that is successful for the whole world to see based upon my critical self-belief, primarily that's what's driving me, that's not a good situation. It's going to crash and burn. Everybody from the outside looking in can see that it's successful and that the reaction to that critical self-belief worked. But that's the whole point of an addiction, is that it works for a little while. And then it doesn't. For some people, these obvious ramifications are much faster than with others. So, again, far more people are under the spell than not. So what happens if we expand your definition of addiction? And what if we include things like social media, which it's inevitable that there will be a DSM next version or two down the road, kind of billable numbered checklist of you're addicted to social media, and it has real life ramifications. So if you are under the spell of social media versus real life connection, for example, what if you were under the spell of busy work? So much today is not about, and this would be the opposite, going deeper, developing mastery, kung fu, when I was just learning about Chinese medicine starting in 1988, right? It was the thing that was keeping me alive. And I was taking Qigong, Tai Chi, and Kung Fu. And the amount from a traditional Chinese guy from China, the head of the Beijing Olympic teams, it's just the championship, the real deal, very blessed. It was what was keeping me alive while I was going out and doing my other active addiction things. And it was so boring. And it was so repetitive. And there was a part of me that just wanted to get to the next thing, especially since my thing at that time was go faster, get more alcohol and cocaine, and then just throw, light it on fire. And Kung Fu was, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. There's something that comes with practice, with repetition, with master that can only you can only reach mastery through this kind of repetition, especially when guided by somebody who knows what they're doing. This is the opposite of the busy work, the busy work culture that we're in. So that's a spell. The next spell, consuming culture. This idea of consuming, it's a spell. And we're so conditioned now, that's what spells do, right? That it's normal. It's Black Friday. We're conditioned to be consumers. I just read this Substack the other day. It's just somebody from the advertising industry. And the big meetings would be like, is this an F or a G? Like, what's F and G? It's like, oh, fear or greed. Those are the two things you aim for when you're pitching a product. Are you going for the fear? Or you're shooting for the greed. Wow. You need this because, oh, that's a spell. And that type of feeding into the fear or the greed are the components that keep that spell moving along and give it power. As opposed to the opposite of that, I like to say would be nourishment. What is your relationship to things as they give you nourishment? Consuming a podcast. What do you hope to get out of this podcast? Hopefully, I'm nourishing a part of your intelligence, your creativity, your soul to be ignited in some kind of way. Last one would be that for me, that would be a success, which is the fourth spell that I'm just bringing up here briefly. The spell of success. What does it mean to be successful? Kind of encapsulates all of those first three, social media, busy work, and consuming, right? Well, success versus deep meaning and happiness. So those are spells that are addictions that keep people running on treadmills, but we don't call them that. We don't call them addictions because outwardly, they're serving a purpose. Yeah, that's a big subject and a very common one when helping people break the addiction, break the spell. How then does the relationship to work, consuming, and success, that all has to change because the spell is now broken. All right. How do we break the spell of addiction? So we're going to keep things simple and we're not going to talk about those ones I just did, and we're going to stick to more conventional ideas of addiction and focus in on abuse of a harmful substance or action, your basic addictions. As I take a sip of coffee. So how do we break this spell? Well, three things. We need to become aware of it, stop participating in it, and thirdly, change the beliefs that cause us to fall under its power. So first, become aware of it. Second, stop participating in it. Third, change the beliefs. Let's go into them. Let's go into each of those in detail. Number one, become aware of it. So one way or another, usually it's through an outside experience because that's what flipped our belief in the first place from, hey, the world is safe, everything's fine. And then you have these negative, right? These forces come in that change our belief. Usually we need another experience to change the current belief of denial. Talked about that in the last post, to help us become aware of it. But however you get there, hopefully with not too much pain, but to break this spell, maybe listening to this right now, we're poking some holes in it. We need awareness of that spell. It's a spell. It's a lie. It's not real. The only reason why it is real is because I believe it and I make it real. Huh, that's interesting. Once we have awareness around this whole process, this whole cycle of addiction, this whole, oh, that plants the seeds for the next round, how it goes round and around and around. Interesting. We start to get objectivity and remove ourselves, our identity, from the addiction. We're starting to get some separation just through the act of awareness. The next thing we need to become aware of is whatever the spell of the lie is, I am weak. If that's the spell, we need to realize and become aware that we weren't always believing that. We didn't attach that to our identity. It arose from Tall. And at the same time, we need to acknowledge that there is no going back. We need to move forward. So it's like, okay, I wasn't always I am weak. I adopted and believed that, and that's how then it became truth. Interesting. Both of these things are true at the same time, and now I'm going to take this awareness and move forward because things are different now and I can make a different choice. And only through this awareness can we then get off the merry-go-round of this spell of addiction. So I just texted this to a client yesterday. Awareness without action is just a daydream. But action without awareness is a nightmare. So the first part of that, I've got awareness, but if you don't put an action to it, it's just a daydream. It's like, it's a nice thought. It's a concept. So we need to stop participating in the spell. We have awareness that it's a lie. So now I have to remove my participation from perpetuating that lie and making it true. So we have to take responsibility that we believed the lie and at some stage in some form still do. And very possibly it may be a kind of wound that may be with us for the rest of our lives. The wound can scar over and maybe not hold power, but it's always going to be there. There is no going back. Okay, take responsibility. I believed that lie. I take responsibility because then I acted from it and I participated in making the lie real. Once we've got those down, we're ready to do the next step. Big stuff. Number three, we need to change the beliefs that cause us to fall under the spell's prey. The spell has power because we believed it, because we participated in it. Changing a belief, changing the spell. I am a weak loser. As a belief, that has power. If it's part of my core, part of my being, what I've been telling myself for years. So how the heck do we go about changing a belief? All right. First of all, we see this lie for what it is. Identifying your I am statement, and anybody who's worked with me knows I don't let people off the hook about this. And there's a push-pull process, but we got to hone this down to very precise where it came from, who's perpetuated it with you, who's validated it with you. It's like, well, I've attracted everybody in my life around me that see me as this I am. That's big stuff. That's a lot of power for a lie. That's a lot of power for a spell. So to accurately, precisely identify your I am statement is a big deal. Then the work of disconnecting the I from whatever the damage and the deficit is. This is what all forms of meditation, the medicine journey, and the path of recovery that my online program in the shamanic rites exercises to get that objectivity talks about, to separate the identity and the story of I. It's like, oh, I can see that part of me that believes it. Now there's two parts of me, at least, right? It's like I have what's often called the observer. Fantastic. Then now we disconnect the I from whatever the filling in the blank of the last part of your spell is. Weak, loser, unlovable, stupid. In other words, that's interesting. How I filled in the blank for that lie. That is just a thought. So it's not only the damage and the deficit that happened from Toll, it's the how I particularly labeled it as a result. And I often talk about and have charts to where it's pretty predictable. If I'm not going to go through the whole chart, but very simply put, for example, if I was given verbal abuse over and over as a kid, you're weak, spindly, you know, well, there's a good chance I'll swing 180 degrees the other way and prove that wrong by going to the gym and lifting weights. And then I can grow up and beat the crap out of the person who's told me that. And get, that's a typical story. If, as in, as I share with my story, sexual abuse, it's like I've got this dirty secret. I'm dirty. And that goes on to then affect every relationship in authentic and intimate settings of any kind, any subject, much less sex, about keeping secrets. It's like, well, I can't show all my cards because then they'll know I'm dirty. And so there are very predictable pathways of, if you have labeled your particular brand of trauma, abuse, heartbreak, and loss, and whatever that energy stuck to you as loser, weak, worthless, it's usually pretty traceable, not only to the specific incident, but it will make a whole lot of sense. So In changing the beliefs, I'll go over these, the three parts I just said. So you identify your I am statements that carry the spell and hold its power. You disconnect the I, get some objectivity from the actual damage that was done, and then you disconnect the I from whatever label you put on there. When you do this, it makes a lot of sense. Oh, that came from that, and I made this, and then of course I believed the lie, and then of course I went out and participated in this manner. So while we are speaking here about breaking the spell of addiction and speaking about spells and concepts and the powers, this makes a lot of sense when you plug in your specific situations. And that's part of the beauty of this, is seeing the light bulbs that go off over people's heads when this happens. So let me give you an example of how the spell and my belief in it creates reality, perpetuates the cycle of addiction. Let's go around the wheel one time, shall we? Here's the spell in action. So if the spell, let's go with the one I've been using. If the spell for me is I am a loser, well, that belief, how do I then believe that lie? And then now, what am I going to do to participate to make it real? What does that look like? It looks like this. I'm a loser. That feels awful. I got an idea. I'm going to make myself feel better. Now, again, I'm going to use a blatant example, and I'll use myself. I'll use a blatant example of what this could look like in an active addiction, so we don't have to think too hard. So the next state, it feels bad. I'm going to come up with a plan. I'm going to come up with a plan to make myself feel better. Now, this is a reaction. That's the whole point of a cycle of addiction. It's built upon reaction after reaction. We know exactly what's happening. There's nothing new here. The spell is not original. It's not going to be different tomorrow than it was yesterday when we're under the spell. So I'm not planning on making myself feel better in a healthy manner. I'm planning to get some blow and down some cocaine and tequila later. That's it. Blow and cocaine are the same thing, right? Okay. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So if that's my plan, even subconsciously, I'm planning on that. And that's what I'm waking up with during the day. Now we're in the acquisition phase. How do I? Well, I got to go get this stuff. I will lie, cheat, do anything necessary to get out of work, avoid. Sure. As long as I feel like I'm headed in the right direction towards my plan. My bigger plan to feel better, right? Planning, acquisition. All right. Finally, I have created the environment and the right people, right situations to use. And what will I do? I can take a bag of my newly purchased or acquired in some form or another, borrowed bag of cocaine, put it on the table, chop it up in all kinds of little lines, and say, here, you guys go first. Because what does that do for me? It gives me the experience. In the words of Charlie Sheen, I'm winning. Look, I'm not a loser. I'm a winner. I'm a winner. In this moment, the moment lasts what? Minute, few, maybe a couple hours. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at life, All parties end like that, right? And they all end in the same kind of manner. Some worse than others. Let's go for a worst one. So it shows you the obvious example. It's like you wake up in a place you don't recognize. Where's my wallet? Where's my car keys? Where's my pants? Who are these people? What are these ATM withdrawal receipts? What have you just done? You've just proven to anybody who'll see before you can get to the cover-up phase. What a loser. This is how the lie becomes real. It can only become real if I believe it, I'm a loser. And now I participate in its manifestation. That's the spell in action. This is the only way an addiction can work. I hope that was a clear, it's a timeless example. I've used it many times. Unfortunately, I've lived it many times. It's dependable. It's predictable. It's boring. And it is powerful nonetheless. This spell of believing and then making it so only exists because I believe it and then I participate and make it true. That's the only reason a spell works and can perpetuate itself, and is specifically in addiction. I hope this provided you with some new avenues of thought, ways to look at an addiction. Addiction is a spell. This spell is a lie and not true. It only becomes real and true when we believe the lie and make it so. Otherwise, it can't exist. Let's remove our participation in this. Let's re-flip the beliefs. Let's give ourselves new experiences and reclaim our power back from whatever forces benefited from our participation under that spell. Round two, we'll talk about those other forces and our participation in the spell and where does all that energy go and who benefits from this? How does that work? For now, let's stop this here. I want to say thank you for listening to the Sober Shaman podcast. Please, as always, send me any questions, comments you have. Hit the little like button on whatever platform you are listening and or watching this on. It's greatly appreciated. Till next time, blessings. Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Send me any questions or comments you have. Check out the website, randalllyons.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, blessings.